Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp, the host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 44, the best microbusiness for a teenager to start this week. And in particular, I think this podcast is going to be about microbusinesses a teenager can start this summer, because summer is a great time to start a microbusiness. Teenagers typically have a little more free time on their hands, can learn how to make money, especially if they can't get a job. Hey, you know what? It's summer is also a great time for your teenager to think about what comes after high school, and I have a resource called Career Exploration for Homeschool High School Students to help you with that. You can find that book as well as the Microbusiness for Teens books at my website, microbusinessforteens.com. Now, this podcast is the second part of a two-part podcast that I presented with a teenager, Rachel Coker. So I hope you will listen to part one if you haven't already. That's episode number 43 at thedollarsandcentsshow.com. And Rachel talked to you about some of the microbusinesses she has been running and ran as a teenager. And also we just shared a whole lot of ideas of different kinds of microbusinesses your teenager could start very quickly, even this week. Especially great ideas for them to do during the summertime. So, the second part of the podcast here, Rachel and I are going to discuss a little bit more about how specifically you get started with a very simple business plan. Just something for them to think through what they want to do, who their customers are, how they're going to find their customers, and what they're going to charge. As always, the show notes are available at dollarsandcentsshow.com. or microbusinessforteens.com. Just look for this episode number 44, the best microbusiness for a teenager to start this week or this summer. And hey, if you find the podcast helpful, I always appreciate a positive review on iTunes. You can do that by going to dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for the iTunes logo. It's purple, looks like a iTunes, you know, like an eye, and you can leave a comment there. I'll leave you information on how to do that in the show notes as well. And if you find the Microbusiness for Teens books or the Career Exploration book helpful, I sure always appreciate a positive review on Amazon for those too. And, you know, feel free to spread word about these resources on social media, Facebook, Pinterest. You can follow my Pinterest page or Twitter, whatever social media you like to hang out on. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I hope your teenagers are encouraged that they can start a microbusiness this summer. So that's what we're going to talk about, having a plan. So you got an idea, maybe you've been inspired by something Rachel has said, or go to Pinterest, see, or my website, Microbusiness for Teens. You're inspired by something. If you're inspired by it, copy it. It's not called stealing, it's called being inspired and being copied, yeah. And then you need to start with a plan. Let me make sure I'm on the right page. Oh, yeah, I got to go back one. The concept, what is your product or what is your service? Or even like, and we were talking in Hannah, Rachel's sisters, this custom-made skirts, is that a product or is that a service? It's kind of a little bit of both, isn't it? Yeah. She only goes and provides a service, meaning the product, a skirt, when she gets an order. Brilliant idea. And then think not just about what am I going to sell, how am I going to measure success? Now, sometimes you might measure success in some financial goal. What did you say, Rachel? You maybe you wanted to buy a lens. You know, if you have a hobby like photography, you're always listing after the next thing. And maybe you just want to do enough to buy something that you want, you know, to buy car insurance, to buy gas. All those are pretty lofty goals these days, right? Or maybe you have a goal of just getting experience. So one of my daughters, Emily, was thinking about what she wanted to do in college, and I could see she was good at math. Oh, hi over there. Yeah. I knew she was good at math, and I said, I'm going to give you an accounting class. She was homeschooled. She really took to accounting. And then about the same time, one of my clients, do you all know Linda Hobar, the Mystery of History? She's downstairs at her booth. She writes history curriculum. She used to live here in Cincinnati. She called and said, Carol, I hate this bookkeeping stuff. I need a bookkeeper. And I said, well, even though I'm a CPA, I kind of hate bookkeeping too, to be honest. It's kind of tedious for me. But my daughter Emily just learned accounting from a class I gave her. Would you let her do accounting? Yeah. So I showed Emily this wonderful piece of software. Have you heard of it? QuickBooks. So Emily sits down in front of QuickBooks. Now, you know, she's had accounting, but it's all been paper-based, you know, out of a textbook. She sits down in front of QuickBooks, and I show her, well, Emily, here's how you input the transactions, and here pops a P&L, and she goes, this is sweet. And I thought, this girl is a born accountant, right? So she is now graduating from Grove City College with a degree in accounting, going to go to Ohio State next year and get her master's in it. Wow. Okay. But she measured success by, and she ended up going to work for Linda Hobart doing her accounting. She got paid $10 an hour, which is awfully good money when you're 16. She got two scholarships from accounting societies, probably because she said, I did bookkeeping at the age of 16 for an author. Pretty cool. How many kids get to say that, right? She measured success not in the money she was making, but in the experience she was getting. So you might measure your success in that way too. So think about that. That's your plan, your concept. The next thing is marketing. Now you heard Rachel say a couple times, never had to do any marketing. That's the best thing around. You know, but most of us have to do marketing. Word of mouth. Think about who your potential customer is. I just got this email just yesterday from a student who emailed me and said, I saw you at a homeschool convention last year in Kentucky. You know, I was inspired by what you said. I made a whole bunch of products. She didn't say what she made, but she made a whole bunch of product. I don't know how to sell it now. Well, honey, why did you make a whole bunch of product when you didn't know who the customer was or how you were going to sell it? Right? Think first, where am I going to sell it? Is there even a need for it? Another student I met thought her micro business was going to be taking her brothers. She had a lot of brothers. I think there were 12 children in the family, a lot of brothers. She was going to take her brothers' used blue jeans and convert them into purses. Okay, good idea or not? Is there a need? Do you see a lot of girls carrying around purses made out of their brothers' blue jeans? I don't. I don't think there's a need. I don't think she had any potential customers. What she had was a supply of inventory. Okay, but you got to think about who's my customer. How am I going to reach them? Where do they hang out, both online or in person? Like the bracelets you sell, do you ever go like to soccer games or football games and sell them in the team colors? That's an idea. Go in craft fair, but go to where your market is. And you might do it in the team colors of whatever sport they are, and go to their games. You got to go to where your customer is to reach them, okay? Think about who your competition is. When my daughter Emily started doing piano lessons, and Rachel probably too, she undercut her competition, right? By probably a lot, yeah. Because, like, if you offer piano lessons, even at $10 for half an hour, you're probably half of what every other professional adult piano teacher out there. That's your advantage. Know who your competition is and how you guys are better, different, cheaper. Maybe unique, something about you is going to be unique. So how will you stand out? How will you be different? How did Hannah, the skirt maker, stand out? Her skirts came to the knee. You know, it was a simple concept, but it filled a need. How does Rachel stand out with her books? She writes books for teenagers, but they're set in the 40s or the 60s. Pretty unique stuff, right? So how are you going to be different and unique that someone will buy from you instead of your competition? You need to think about that. Put that down on paper and talk to somebody about it and see what they say. Talk to a business mentor. Talk to me. Talk to Rachel. Email. Have somebody talk to your parents. Sorry, should have said that first. Okay. Finally, a financial plan. So a business plan has three parts. That concept, how you will measure success in what you're doing. The marketing plan, which is who are my potential customers, who's my competition, how am I going to be different. And this is the hardest one, the financial plan, where you sit down and you put numbers on paper. And this is where you probably want some help. And you're probably going to have to do some research. How much is it going to cost to start up? As I walk you through my book, Starting a Microbusiness, and the workbook, I work you through that step by step. What is it going to cost to start this? Sometimes it doesn't cost anything. If you already have the camera, you already have the piano, Facebook is free, you already have some connections, use your parents to put out word. I mean, it can cost nothing to start. That's the perfect kind of micro business. But then think about what you're going to charge customers. Did you hear Rachel talk about how she would adjust her price either as she got too busy or she got more experience? Start at one price. It doesn't mean you have to stay there forever, right? And once you figure out what you owe in income tax, you will find out you need to increase your prices, right? Because teenagers pay taxes too, by the way, mom and dad, okay? You have any comments? Okay. Any questions at this point? We're going to go on. One over there in the corner. Yes, sir. Yeah, I do. Thank you very much. I have another booth right next to my micro business for teens called Homeschool CPA. I do a lot of work with nonprofits. You can come and talk to me about nonprofits. Yeah, fabulous. Thank you. I'd love to talk to you about that. So after you get an idea, oh, we had some comments. Sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, how to get the word out. That's called marketing. That's covered in the second book called Running a Micro Business. It's a whole other workshop, and that is quite the challenge. But it depends on whether you have a local market, like piano lessons, photography is very local, or whether you have more of a national market, like the books or an internet-based, completely different track. So come down to our booth, and we can talk more to you about that. But yeah.
One tip that I have found is the best way that I've ever seen in either mine or my sister's business of getting new customers is to do a giveaway. Like, it sounds crazy, but if you have an online market, like I have a blog, my sister and I both have fan pages on Facebook, and I have like a Twitter. Whenever I do a giveaway, either for a book or for one of my sister's skirts, I will usually get like 200 to 300 more followers on my blog or on my Facebook or whatever than I had before, which is crazy. And some of them won't stay. Like, some of them will like my Facebook page or will go to my blog just for that one giveaway, and then I'll never hear from them again, or they'll unlike me or whatever. But a lot of times, once you actually get them to your website, they'll be like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. And they'll stay, and they'll be a fan of yours for a long time. And then when you keep producing new stuff, they'll keep buying. That's a really good idea that we do.
Yeah. Give away a little bit in order to get more. Yes, ma'am. The taxes question, yes, okay. And what's your second question? Is it unrelated? Oh, I might let Rachel answer that. Okay, the tax question. Ready? Write these numbers down. Get out your pens, ladies and gentlemen. I'll put on my CPA hat. This is covered in the... I have a website called teensandtaxes.com. Go there first. That's a really, if I say so myself, a pretty good website. Gets lots of hits about this time of year. Yeah, April 14th, the hits go way up. Yeah, okay. There are two taxes that you have to pay, at least two, three, okay, federal income tax. The number there is $5,950. That was last year. It will go up to about $6,150. So roughly $6,000 before a student has to pay federal income tax. And yes, mom and dad, they can still be claimed on your tax return. Philip made $50,000 one year and was still a dependent upon his parents' tax return, okay? Because mom and dad were providing the food, clothing, medical care, okay? So roughly $6,000 in profit before you pay federal income tax. The second tax that businesses have to pay is called self-employment tax. That's the same as Social Security and Medicare. That threshold is extremely low, $400, and you have to start paying self-employment tax. Self-employment tax is a nasty 15.3% of your profit. Very nasty. Chances are Rachel is paying, I know because I did her tax return, she's paying a lot more in self-employment tax than she is paying in federal income tax. It's a nasty thing. I went to Congress and tried to get a bill to change that, to say if you are 18 or under, you don't have to pay self-employment tax to encourage teenage entrepreneurship. If you want to help me with that, go to Teens in Taxes or Micro Business for Teens. There's a webpage to us for try to get some movement to say this is ridiculous. That $400 threshold has not been changed since the 1960s. Okay, the last tax that you might have to pay, you might have to collect and pay, got you in a minute, sales tax. If you sell a product, and sometimes some services are sales taxable, you have to start collecting that from the first sale and remitting it to your state. It's very complex, but we can talk about it. There was a question. Thank you. Teensandtaxes.com. Thank you. Teensandtaxes.com. Yes, sir, in the back corner, you had a question. I'm sorry, six. Yeah, thank you. Roughly $6,000 a year in your profit, not your total sales.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
And you had a second question about competition. How do you know when there's too much competition and you don't want to really get into that market? That's a tricky one, isn't it? Trial and error. Seriously, trial and error. Don't go at it too much. You know, like I said, maybe volunteer your services to see if there's a need. Maybe you do a craft show and he's going to find out there are too many other people in that market. He's going to go on to something else. Trial and error. But try not to invest too much money before you find out that there really is a need and really is a market. I'll tell you, when I came to a convention like this, when I had just basically a prototype of my book, I'll get you in a minute, Starting a Micro Business, and I came with this crummy looking cover. It was pitiful. It was not published by Zondervan. That's right. It was self-published. And the room was full. And I'm like, I think I've hit on something. So that was my little test. And then I went back and I got a much better. I got a professional cover design and I re-edited and expanded it. So it was a test. Yes, sir. How creative can they? I'm an accountant. People get awfully creative with expenses. Yeah. Sometimes the goal is not always to make money, but to, you know, my daughter will do photography not to make money, but in order to buy the next cool gadget. So her expenses always equal her income. So, yeah, no, I'm a conservative CPA, though. I don't think you get very creative with accounting. Yeah. Yes, sir, in the back corner there. These are great questions. Thank you. When? I'm not sure what you mean. When you do it, like, you can work at any hours, you mean, or the season of the year. Obviously, if you're going to mow grass, you're not going to offer that Wisconsin in winter, right? That's obvious, right? Yeah, see, you know, and you can run several micro businesses. Some can be very seasonal. They can swell, and then they can have their lulls. Yeah.
I think that a really good idea, if you're doing a product-based business as opposed to a service-related business, like my sister's going to laugh when she hears like how much I mentioned her, but is to sort of reinvent yourself every season. My sister comes up with a new line of skirts every fall and every spring. She goes completely to the drawing board. She comes with a new design. She gets new fabric. She hires me as the photographer to do a whole new photo shoot in a different location every single time. And then she launches it on a specific date on her website. And that's when she does it on her Facebook. She's like, we're doing a giveaway. She'll do a promo code. She'll say, like, get 10% off the new season. And it'll last for about a week. And it'll be like her launch week. And during that time, she gets lots of buzz of people. Oh, these new polka dot skirts are so cute. Or, oh, I love like the gingham for spring. And when she does it in the fall, she'll do it in like a wool, or she'll do it in a burgundy or a gray or something like that. And so I think that if you're constantly reinventing yourself, you're giving people a whole new reason to go back to your website and to go and see what you're doing that's new. If you're doing constantly the same design all 12 months of the year and it doesn't really change much, people are going to forget about it, or they're going to be like, oh, I already have that. But if you're coming out with new colors, with new designs, with new and updated versions, it gives people a reason to be following you. And that's what you want when you have a business, is you want repeat customers and you want people to be constantly excited and, you know, seeing the new things. So I think that's a great thing to do if you're doing a product-based business, is to keep it seasonal so people are interested.
I had a question. Ooh, that's a toughie. Okay, all right, we'll try. Okay, his question was, how do the numbers work? Yeah, a little bit, but I wasn't going to talk much. How do the numbers work when you're a published author? Rachel was fortunate to get what's called an advance. She got a sum of money. We don't really talk about it.
$5,000 to $10,000.
That's a very nice, generous advance. The idea of an advance is it's advance on her royalties. So if the book doesn't sell, she gets to keep the money, but she gets no more royalties in the future. The idea of an advance from a publisher is also she's supposed to spend that on promoting the book. So it's like they're giving her advance in order for more books to be sold. The profit from a traditional publisher on a book, down to the author, by the time Amazon gets their cut or the bookstore gets their cut, the publisher gets theirs, yada, 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 $1 to $2 per book. I do talk a little bit more in my workshops when you're self-published. It costs more because I paid for everything, including the cover design, the editor, the printing, okay? But I make more profit off each book I sell. So you can get books printed. Okay, I'll give you, it's being recorded too. Here, I'll tell you my dirty little secret, okay? Okay, it costs about $2.50 to print this book. How much do I sell it for? $3? Of course not. I got to pay taxes. Didn't I just tell you I got to pay taxes? I sell it for about $10. But when I sell it to a reseller, I have to discount it 50%. Amazon takes 50%, okay? So you got to price of the book so that if you cut it in half and sell it to a reseller for $5, I'm still making $2.50 profit on that book. Does that make sense? Is that the numbers you're looking for? Okay. This one slide going back up. When you get an idea, when you've worked through your plan, you've checked it with somebody, do what I call a mini market survey. And this is how we could answer the question about, you know, what's the competition. Go out there and ask your potential customers, do you need what I have to offer? You know, is there a need for this product or service? Would you buy from me? Here's the when question. Well, when do you need it? Now, or do I need to keep reminding you that I'm here? You know, and you might need to keep reminding them. Don't think, oh, because I tried one time to see if people wanted me to, whatever, wash their cars, walk their dogs, mow their grass. Nobody responded. It takes typically 7 times, the marketing people will tell you this, 7 times for people to see or hear about you or your product before they will buy. So you got to keep reminding them. The first time you send out flyers isn't enough. You got to do it again and again and again. That's the tiring part about being in business, isn't it? And then ask them, what price will you pay? You might be overcharging. So do a mini market survey. So I had this one student, Stephen. I love this story about Stephen. He had this great idea. It had to do with his skill and his talent, which was video gaming. Yeah, it was his skill and his talent. And he thought, what I will do is I will play through those difficult spots that my friends get stuck. And I will play through for them, get them to the next level. Brilliant idea, wasn't it? He did a mini market survey because he was in my class. And I taught at a homeschool co-op, and he said, you got to go out and survey people this week. That was quite intimidating to some teenagers. They didn't want to do it. He did. He asked his friends, what would you pay me? And he came back to class, and he says, Mrs. Top, best offer I got was 50 cents. So, okay, shoot. That was not a good idea. But at the same time, I told you I had that crummy little prototype of my book, and I was going to what are called beta readers, that your first round of readers to critique the book. He came back to class. I used to give them a piece of candy every time they found an error. He came back the next week. He had 3 pages of errors that he had found in my book all written up, and I just handed him the whole bag of candy and said, thank you very much. Would you now be my editor? So, you know, well, he was maybe not going to be successful with video gaming. He was very good as an editor. Believe it or not, at the age of like 15, because he was used to learning all those grammar rules that I had forgotten about. Okay. I've talked to you a little bit about the curriculum. It's called Micro Business for Teens. It's 4 books and a workbook. It works great in a homeschool co-op, or I wrote it so that you can do it at home by yourself. Thank you. I also have a brand new this year, a DVD, PBS station in Ohio. Has made an hour-long television show based on the first book. It was very exciting for me to get a call from PBS and say, would you like to do a TV show? I'm like, let me think about it. Yes. Yeah. So that's very exciting. That DVD is available to you if you buy the complete set. We're throwing it in as a freebie. That's nice. Or if you are a homeschool co-op leader or a scout leader, 4-H leader, any kind of leader of kids, and you can tell me that you will show it to at least 10 people, there's a very generous foundation that has given me copies of the DVD to give to you. Okay, so come down to my booth. What is my booth number again? 720 or 821. They're next to each other. And if you say, yes, I have a homeschool co-op, I can guarantee that 10 kids will see this, or I will get together 10 kids who are interested in starting a micro business, and I will show this video to them. I will give you a copy of that video. There's a discussion guide on the website at Micro Business for Teens. You could launch a class or a club based on the video. Think about that. It'd be a great support for each other as you go forward. But yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, end of Philip's story. Oh, yes, thank you. I'll tell you this, and then we'll take some more questions. Oh, it's such a good ending, too. Thank you for reminding me. I usually put it as a little slide reminder because I forget. Okay, so Philip turns down the $750,000 offer, goes off to college, and continues to run freeforums.org. And then he decides he wants to get serious about school, because this is pretty time consuming. He wants to get serious about school because he wants to go get a master's degree at Stanford. It's pretty hard to get into. And he says, I'm going to sell my business. He founds a broker. He gets a deal. Ready? What was his deal? $1.2 million. He is all of 21 years old. He sells it. And, yeah, he's a college student now. He's got one more year left. Now, here's the sweet part of the story, Mom and Dad, if I get through this without choking up. His mom calls me and says, Philip sold it. It was a combination of stock and cash in the new company. And she says, I'm calling you, Carol, because you're a CPA. I need some advice. Philip wants to take some of the cash that he received and pay off our mortgage. Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of kid Philip was. He didn't do it to be a millionaire by age 20. I don't want you to do it to say I'm going to be a millionaire. That's not the point. The point is to take what you've been given, to learn a lot about business, to turn it around and bless somebody else. So she also said to me, I think Philip someday might be the kind of kid who starts a foundation. That's pretty cool, you know, like a Bill and Melinda Gates. Bill came a little late to foundation life, but eventually he did, you know. But that's kind of a neat thing. So take what you've been given, pay it forward. You know, pay off your parents' mortgage. They would they would love that. That would be a pretty cool thing, wouldn't it? Okay, well, we'll see you later. We're going to be here all weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.